Blog Talk Radio.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won,
the heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walked through Ferguson with our hands up. When it goes down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots we on the ground, the camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day.
And welcome. Blog Talk Radio.
The war is won,
I'm your host,
we will be sure. We will be sure.
On Blog Talk Radio. Now, today's topic is about Selma. The movie, the dream, the pain, and the truth. Now, I finally decided to watch the movie. And I had seen other movies that depicted the event of the historical march in Selma across the bridge into Montgomery from Selma, Alabama, into Montgomery, Alabama, a 12-mile walk that thousands of people partook in back in 1965. And this march was part of our American history, which a lot of people try to say it was African-American history. But no, it was our American history. It was participated by thousands of Americans of all different races, all different religions, all different backgrounds, simply because they wanted people in the South to have a right to vote, which was our birth-given right, simply because we were born here in America. Now, the Constitution says that, and we were simply born here in America because, as we all know, they decided to go to Africa and to bring us here as slaves. So it's not like we migrated, swam across the ocean, got on a boat, took a plane to get here to say, hey, let's go over to America so we can have a better life. No, we were stole, bought, abused, brought here, humiliated, brought here to be slaves in this country. And then when we were set free, we were never, ever given the opportunity to be free, given the opportunity for equal pay, equal work, equal education, the right to vote, and many other things that we were never automatically given the right to do, being an American citizen. So, things were beginning to really heat up in the South because of this. And in March in 1965, they decided that they needed to protest by walking from Selma, Alabama, to Montgomery, the capital, and to protest and stand there and say, hey, we want the right to vote. Now, it didn't just start there on the 21st of March, where thousands of people began to march. And by the time the 25th of March came, it had swelled to around 25,000 people who had joined them along the way as they walked these 12 miles in order to show the world that, hey, we want justice. We want to be able to vote. Because, see, in the South, in the 1960s, the early 60s, if you wanted to vote as a African-American black person, you had to be taken through so many different things. You had to pay a poll tax. You had to recite the Emancipation. You had to know who your governor and all your different officials were and name them. You had to do a lot of things that the average American, being white, did not have to do. And even though there were a lot of African Americans living in the South, in Selma, the majority of them could not vote due to these heavy rules and unjust laws that the governor, Governor George Wallace, had placed in this town and in this state, in his state, for all the African Americans who needed to vote. So they began to protest, they began to gather, they began to do different things to say, hey, we need our rights just as anyone else has their rights. And we want to be able to vote and make it better for us here in the South. So they decided to come together as different organizations. And it was not easy. Just as today, as you see in Ferguson, the protesters, and across the country, New York, and other states, they're protesting and they're organizing. But it's difficult for them all to come together. It's difficult for them to march together, protest together. But they're doing it. They're trying, because you got a lot of different people with a lot of different ideas. And some only want to be there and be involved just for their own personal gain. And it's not fair when you have people who've been there since day one, who've been marching and sacrificing, taking leave of absence from their jobs, standing out there in the cold day in and day out, being persecuted through the internet, being bullied on the internet, just all types of things, being threatened. And they've been there, and they're not going to stop. And then other organizations come in and they want to do things, but they don't want to include the people, the very same people who've been there since day one, from the beginning, since August, when they murdered Michael Brown. And the people began to protest, just as the people did in 1965 in Selma. They got together. It was different organizations, the CNCC, the SNCC, the SCLC, and the DCVL. There was different civil rights leaders, and like about over 40 of them got together, and they decided that they would begin this march. Now, they started this march the beginning of March. I think it was March 7th, they decided. And it was called the Bloody Sunday. On March the 7th, 1965, as millions of people watched around the world, they watched. And for those of you who saw the movie, you understand what I'm talking about. They watched as the people began to walk across the bridge. It was the Edmund Pettus Bridge. And as they walked across this bridge, they were met with retaliation by the police, state troopers, county sheriff, deputies. They attacked them, just as we saw the people being attacked in Ferguson this past summer. They attacked them with tear gas, billy clubs, and they drove them back to Selma. Attacks were brutal. They were so brutal and so bloody that it became known as Bloody Sunday. The national media was there, and it was all over TV. It was all over national and international television. On March the 7th, 1965, it was about 600 people. And this march was led by the great John Lewis. He was of the organization, the SNCC. And Reverend Hosea Williams from the SCLC. And other different people like Albert Turner of the SCLC too. They went, tried to cross the Pettus Bridge. And that is where they met state troopers. And the county sheriff, Jim Clark, had issued an order for an all-white males Dallas County over the age of 21 to report to the courthouse that morning so that they could be deputized. And they stood there with their nightsticks, and they beat the people, and they tear gassed the people. And this was televised, of this brutal attack on all these people, because they were supporting the Selma Voting Rights Campaign. And this is how they responded to them. They beat them. Some were hurt really seriously, and others were scared, fearful. At the time, the president's name was Lyndon Johnson, and he decided to have a meeting with Martin Luther King after this, not the first and not the last, to try to figure this out because, see, there had already been different boycotts, boycott in Montgomery, just different things. And he knew that Martin Luther King, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., was in the middle of a lot of these type of events and that they were very successful. So he wanted to see what he could do because it was very embarrassing to the world, to the United States, across the world, to see these people simply walking, marching across the bridge because they wanted to go to the Capitol, Montgomery, and tell the governor, we should have this right to vote. And just because they believed in their right, which was their given right, by being born here in America, as I stated earlier, now mind you, that didn't stop them. That was the first attempt, okay? That was the first attempt. And if you see the movie, you'll see what I'm talking about. You'll see the horrific actions that took place on these people. And they didn't just stop when they got them back over the bridge, back into Selma. They even went further to take it upon themselves to beat some of them. Now, there were some other people who came after they saw what was going on. They came and decided to join forces with Dr. Martin Luther King and others to say, hey, we need to go back on this bridge and not give up. Even though it was a bloody Sunday, we need to try this again. So, on March 9th, which was a Tuesday, led by Dr. Martin Luther King, and this time it was like 2,500 people. Now, before, on the bloody Sunday, it was like 600. Now it had swelled to 2,500 people, and this was their second attempt to cross the Edmund Pettus Bridge. Now they prayed, as usual. When they reached the bridge and they saw the people standing there, just waiting for them, they saw the state troopers with their bully clubs, and they looked at the opposition that they were facing, and they didn't want to chance it again. We'll say, hey, here we go again. Now we're going to get beat and clubbed and tear gassed again. So Martin Luther King, he already knew what had happened to the ones 2 days before that and how horrific it was. So he prayed, and then he decided that maybe this particular day was not the day that in which they should take this march on, because he felt that maybe this was a trap. And so he turned them around, and it was called the Turnaround Tuesday. After he prayed, he turned them around, and they marched back into Selma. Now, mind you, amongst those 2,500 marchers were all different races, because they had witnessed what had happened on that Sunday with the first attempt. They had saw the news report how horrific it was for those people. So they decided to join these people in the march. And it was some white ministers. And it was like three white ministers who were attacked by four members of the KKK and beaten with clubs. And this was horrific. So they didn't want to take these. It was three people. They didn't want to take them to the Selma's hospital because they thought they would be refused for treatment. So they took one of them to the Birmingham hospital. But because this reverend was not treated right away, 2 hours later he died. I'm sorry, 2 days later, Thursday, he died from his injuries. And his name was James Reed. Now, the country began to mourn for assisting the African-Americans for their right, their American right to vote. Now, this really didn't look good for the President Johnson to the world to see the hatred that embarked on America, the hatred that was sown into that flag, see, that red, white, and blue, that blood that's sown into that flag. At the time, this flag is flying. At the time, the Confederate flag, the same time, the Confederate flag is flying. And America is dealing with this war and trying to tell Vietnam what they should not do. But yet and still, America could not control their own vicious vigilantes, the KKK, and all these other groups that despised African Americans and despised any race that would assist African Americans in their rights in this country. So America was looking pretty bad. And as you listen to this story, it sounds very, very familiar. As we watched across the country this past summer as protesters marched and were tear gassed and beaten and jailed simply because we want equal rights. We want justice because we're tired of the injustice. See, this march that took three attempts to make it happen, this march that went down in history, it took three attempts. This march where people died to make it happen. And it put so much pressure on the president at the time that he decided that he needed to sign this voting rights bill. Now, the third attempt was very successful. People marched. Lots of people marched to Montgomery. And on March 22nd, over 23,000 protesters marched through chilling rain. They had camped in muddy fields. They had went through all different types of elements across into Montgomery County to stand there and to let the world know that, hey, we want justice. We want the right to vote. So the third attempt was a very, very successful attempt. And now it's known as a historical route from Selma to Montgomery. And if you go down into Selma, Alabama, you'll see the route. It's called the Historic Route, Selma to Montgomery. It's a National Historic Trail. For those 12 miles, as the people marched. So, this march caused Johnson to present a bill to Congress. On March 15th, this bill was presented, be known as the Voting Rights Act. But as we know, even then, in 1965, the march had been completed and had been called successful. But we still had a long way to go, and it still didn't cure all of America's ills, all of America's pain, all of America's truth. This march was a dream. It was a dream for many, not just John Lewis, not just Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., but a dream for many people who never had the right to vote, who were faced with challenge after challenge, year after year, day in and day out, trying to register to vote and denied over and over again. This dream that families would sit and talk about and say, hey, if I don't make it, maybe my son will make it. Maybe my granddaughter will make it. Maybe my niece or nephew or somebody in my family will make it. But I'm going to hold on until we make it, because one day they had that dream that they would be able to walk into that courthouse and register to vote and cast their vote in that election. But there were a lot of people dreaming, a lot of people fearful. There was a lot of pain because a lot of people lost their jobs. They lost their homes. Some lost their life because of this dream. So there was a lot of pain. And as you watch the movie, I'm not going to say much about it, but the very beginning of the movie, there's a lot of pain in the beginning of that movie. It wreaks pain. It sets the tone. It sets the stage of the truth of our pain in this country. And as we look back at this pain, it is so familiar to the pain that we see on the faces of these mothers, these sisters, these fathers, when they have to bury their children. Michael Brown, Von McDerrick, Eric Garner, John Crawford, Tamir Rice. The list goes on and on and on of all the different people who were murdered by police officers, and no justice has been done. The same pain that still exists 50 years later, 50 years to some is a blink of an eye, to others is a very long time. And when you think about it, 50 years, a lot can be accomplished. To some, it's a lifetime. But when you look at these particular incidents that involve this type of pain, it doesn't seem like 50 years has done a lot in this country. It doesn't seem like that dream has gone too far. Because, see, it's just the beginning, the right to vote. The right to vote was their dream. They endured that pain so that they would have that right, so that we all would have that right to vote. But now we're here in the 21st century, and some are trying to take that same right that people died for. Some are trying to take that right away. See, they just found another way to stop us. Now you got to have an ID in some states. You got to have this in some states. Or they just redistrict things to make it harder for different people to be elected. So we're still dreaming of that day when everyone will be able to vote equally, no matter who you are, as long as you're of age, as the Constitution says, equal. But 50 years just seems like a blink of an eye to some who are still struggling, who still have that pain, who still have that dream of the human that they are, and not by the color of their skin. That dream that we will not only be able to vote, we'll be able to walk down the street without being harassed, we'll be able to walk to school without being bullied, without being murdered. We'll be able to go into an office and get a job based off what we know and not by who we are and not by who we know, but what we know. We'll be able to get that equal pay that we so deserve. Because, see, even though we have a dream and we succeed in that dream is still not respected here in this country. A lot of people, it's less than a lot of other people with less education. But because of the color of their skin, they're paid more. So that dream continues, and I challenge everybody out there to keep on dreaming. Watch that movie, Selma. Listen. Research the names down. Research the history of the players and understand the pain and the truth behind it. And until next week, as I say always, John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And I challenge everybody to the truth, to Selma's truth. And until next week, stay true.
One day,
be blessed.
When the glory comes, it will be ours. It will be ours. Oh, one day.
Good night.
When the war is won, we will be sure. We will be sure.
To the heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us.